Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to now turn the service over. Are you reverend yet? Not yet. Almost. Almost reverend. Brenda Webb. The right reverend. Brenda Webb. We love you, Brenda. We appreciate your ministry here.
Be a reverend, but anyway, just Brenda. That feels better. Now, I finished the classes to be certified, and I will graduate January the 20th over at Waxahachie. So I'm kind of excited about that accomplishment. And it's kind of the beginning. I will have 2 more years, but I look forward to it. You know, we all need a purpose in life, and I guess that's been my purpose, to know more about God and, you know, have a relationship with Him like I haven't ever had before. I thought I was good, Paula, but I wasn't good. I wasn't good enough to know the Word of God like I needed to. So anyway, it's been a journey, and I enjoy it. I get to hang out with young folks in their 20s. And I told my children, I said, you don't have to worry about me while I'm there, because they think I'm their mother. And they help me, and they open doors for me, long as I carry them across to the cafeteria. So we're in pretty good shape. We do reciprocate one another. But anyway, did y'all enjoy the sermon this morning? It was magnificent, was it? I guess we'll send him off to North Carolina again, and he'll come back, and he'll be all fired up one more time. But I think it's good for him, because he comes back refreshed, and after hearing other people speak, it's always good. Anyway, we had a wonderful time at the barn on Friday night. The Lord showed up as we anticipated, and we also expect Him to do His work tonight. But in that, we prayed for many people, and we asked God to meet needs. But there was a special time that happened during the service, and Linda Fagan came up, and I'm not going to steal her thunder, because I've asked her to come up here and share with what happened and the response she received after that night. So we need to give God glory, and we need to testify to His goodness, because the world needs to know that we serve a God that does not fail. He always answers. How's He going to answer? I don't know, but I'm glad He answers. Sometimes it's yes, and sometimes it's no. But anyway, Linda, come up and share with our family here tonight and let them know what the Lord did.
Well, it's exciting to be here tonight. I feel like Rondell needs to come up with me. Sherry and Martin Burchard both have tons of ailments, and Martin has 3 things. He has interstitial pulmonary fibrosis. It is terminal, according to the doctors. He also has lupus, and he has Raynaud's syndrome. His wife, Sherry, has, you know, she passed out 2 or 3 times last year. One time, I think, even here at the church, and they couldn't find out what was wrong with her. And last Sunday, they were planning to come to church, and she texted me and said, I just feel terrible, and we're going to go to the emergency room. And I said, please keep me posted. So this is what I received when I got home from that visit to the ER. According to the doctor in the ER, from the CT scan results, I have a lung nodule, a liver mass, something with pancreatitis, mass on my kidney, small bowel intussusception, calcification of the aorta, a large ovarian cyst, and severe stenosis of the L5 through the S1. They have no insurance. And she was sharing all that with me just to let me know. She wasn't saying, I really need help. And then later I got a message from her, and she says, I'm depressed. She said, we have 14 grandchildren, and we can't even afford $5 a piece for them for Christmas, for a small gift. And she said, would you just pray about this? Well, supposed to bring it up at the barn, but you know how sometimes you feel like, maybe not. And maybe you're not supposed to do that because it's not normally done, or I don't see it done that much. And so I had just told Rondell about 10 minutes before, I changed my mind, I'm not going to bring it up tonight. But then I heard the Lord say, yes, you are. So anyway, I went down front and we anointed prayer cloths and prayed over those prayer cloths. And I shared with everybody what was going on. And then Rondell and I contacted them so we could go to their house and take the prayer cloths to them. That's all I told them. Was just, we have some prayer cloths for you. Well, at the barn, you generous people, gave a love offering, and that night it was over $600. And then the next day, I received a check from someone who was not at the barn, and that was $200. So altogether, the offering was $880. Now, when we got to Sherry's house, all they had known was we were bringing the prayer cloths. And so I handed them the prayer cloths and told them about, you know, what we'd done, prayed over them. And she said, you know what? She said, I was just telling Martin, I figured it out. If we only gave a $20, $25 gift to the 31 kids and grandchildren that are in our family, it would take over $800. She said, can you imagine that? And I wanted to jump up and say, you've got it now. But I didn't. I just listened to her. And anyway, we gave her the love offering from the barn and Martin. And they were just overwhelmed. And she told me, they came this morning. They both looked wonderful. And Rondell and I were talking about it. He said, well, you know, when a load is taken off of you, you tend to look better than you did before. Anyway, they were here this morning, and she said, I'm wearing my prayer cloth. I wear it all the time. So anyway, I just wanted to tell y'all, we stress the fact that this was a love offering. It was all given to them in love, and we do believe, we stand firm. We do believe in healing. We do believe the Lord's going to heal. What's we? Oh, yes. Yes. She had no pain. She had been in pain. Is that what you're talking about? The fact she had no pain? She had been in constant pain for I don't know how long. And she said, for the first time, I woke up this morning with no pain. And then later in the yes. And then later, I got another text that afternoon. She said, I still have no pain. Isn't that marvelous? And we are just going to stand firm. And I told her, I said, you know, I just see the Lord taking those away. Whether it's be one by one or all at once, he can do it. Our God can do it. Nothing is impossible.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Linda. We appreciate that. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit tonight. When I was in class, Brother Leroy Bartels, some of you may know him, he was a professor at the college, and I mean, he's ministered in probably most churches around here. But anyway, he had a sermon, and I sat through the whole thing and cried that day. And I thought, this is what I want to share with y'all, but it goes along with the gift. But then the Lord spoke to me, and he said he wanted me to read this scripture before I go to the other scripture. And this is in Acts 9. We're going to talk about the Apostle Paul tonight, but we're going to begin talking about who Paul was before he became an apostle. Paul was a ruthless man. He was a Jew. He was well educated in the Jewish faith, and he persecuted the Christians. And as you know, this is a story you all know, but as Paul was traveling the road to Damascus, he was struck. And the scripture says, and I'm not reading everything because it's so much, y'all would be here all night. And that may not be all bad. You'd go to sleep, but it's okay. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Y'all, this is in Acts 9, and verse started at verse 3. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." He recognized that there was an authority there. And he said, "You are the one that is persecuting me." Okay, and then on over there, began to talk about how that the Lord spoke to Ananias and told him, said, "Ananias, you've got a work to do." Because you know what happened to Paul when that was Saul when that happened? He was blinded. He was blinded for 3 days. But Ananias heard a voice from the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and told him to go. Well, he says, "Rise and go." And this is in verse 11. "And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias, come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.'" Paul was going to be revealed as to what kind of suffering he'd have to go through. Now, I'm going to go over to Philemon, and we're going to talk about, I've got so many notes here, y'all, this is a shame, but I keep a lot of notes going on. Okay, in Philippians 4, 10 through 20. You know, Linda was talking about the gift that they gave Sherry and Martin. And sometimes when we receive gifts, we really don't know how to react, do we? I received a gift this week, and it was on the porch when I got home, and I thought, who in the world would be sending me a gift? And I went inside, and I thought, oh, it's probably one of the kids, you know, and opened it up, and it was biscotti from my niece in Starkville, Mississippi. And I thought, well, this is so exciting because I love coffee and biscotti. Well, that was a gift I didn't expect. But when we receive a gift, it's kind of hard. When I give a gift, it's easy. But to receive a gift, sometimes it's difficult. So if we'll remember now, Paul was a ruthless man, but see, God used Paul. And as we know that much of the New Testament was written by Paul, and he's conveyed ways to live and ways to not live. He's talked about our worship to God. He was totally changed. And then in verse 10, I'll begin, and we're going to talk about God's provision. Have you ever felt like you might have been shortchanged in life? Well, I have. But when we're shortchanged, somehow God always fills it up. And I feel like that in my journey, and I refer to most of our lives now as a journey, that God has a plan. And Brother Mike talked about that this morning. What is your plan? I don't know. But we're going to find out a little more about what Paul thought about it. Paul, he said that he would suffer much persecution. He said that Paul would go through the hard times. He would probably feel like he might have been forsaken, but in verse 10 of Philippians 4, it says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at length, you have revived your concern for me." What happened here, the church of Philippi, he had not heard from them for a long time. But you see, Philippi actually began as a church that mentored, supported Paul with finances and gifts. But at this time, Paul had not heard from them in a while. Here he is in prison. And he was in prison in a time when Nero was over Rome. Nero was ruthless. But yet, Paul is in prison. Now, in our studies, I've also found out that Paul had more liberties than some. He was still bound by chains, but he was allowed visitors. And they came in, and he would give them letters to send out to the churches. Well, the church of Philippi was one of those. He said, "You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity." In other words, they had not been able to go and minister to Paul. So Paul, he was rejoicing at this time because he had heard from them. Y'all, communications now are a little bit different. We just text people, don't we? Or we private message them, as you say. Or we pick up the phone and we call them. And sometimes it's almost too much information, isn't it? I've said when I retire, I may retire the phone. I don't know, because I'm on the phone a lot. But he had not heard from the church of Philippi. He says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Now, y'all think about this. Paul is in prison, but yet he's found a place to be content. Where's your contentment tonight? Are you content to know that you walk with the Lord and that relationship is strong? Are you grumbling because maybe you're having to do too much shopping? Are you complaining because you're baking too much or you're putting on the pounds? You know what? We as a people sometimes are very complaining, very grumbling. But you know, when it comes to giving a gift is something that's sometimes hard for people to do. But here at the Church of Philippi, is going to minister to Paul. It says, "I know how to be brought low." Now, Paul is telling him, okay, I know where it is. I know how it is to feel bad and have a bad day. I know it how it is to not have the check on time. I know how it is to have disgruntled grandchildren. He never had any. I'm using that as an analogy. But you know what? He said, "I know what it's like to be brought low." In the King James Version, it says to be abased. It says to be brought down low. "And I know how to abound." He knows the victories of life. He knows the people that he's affected in his ministry. And it says, "In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." You see, our lives are not going to be always perfect. And I think we as the senior group, and maybe some of you younger folks in here, I'm going to say there's some by faith, there's some. But anyway, Dale, you're young. That we have experienced an abundance. We have experienced want. We have experienced fear and not knowing where life is going to lead us. I want to tell you, I'm thankful that almost for 3 years that Jerry's been gone and I've been able to make it. And you know what? I'm not saying just make it. I'm saying God has been mighty good to me. You know that terminology, oh, God has been mighty good to me. He's been mighty good to me. And you know why? He's been faithful. He's never let me down. But you know what? Paul had a greater problem there. He's in jail, and he's still talking about the goodness of the Lord. He's talking about, "I've been down, but you've picked me up." But you know what? The church of Philippi began to minister. They ministered to Paul throughout all of this. And here he is. He says, "I've learned the secret of facing plenty, hunger, abundance, and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." You see, our dependence is on God, just like Paul's was. Our dependence is on God to see us through and get us where we need to be. You see, God's provisions are many. I'm not going to discount it, Linda. I'm going to reach out there and grab everything he has for me. And you know what? I'm working on the kingdom of God here, but one day I'll have another kingdom when I pass over or when he comes and calls us home. One way. But you know what? I'm not through here. I want to work for Jesus. I want to keep working. Don't you, Brother Thurman? I can't see you sitting down, but I know you try to sit down occasionally, but you just keep getting right up like the Energizer Bunny. They say, well, we're going to quit. We're going to have to slow down. Yeah, we all say that, don't we? Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. He's saying, yes, you shared all the trouble that I had. Things were difficult. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. You know what? The church of Philippi believed in Paul, didn't they? They believed in the journey. You know, I look at our missionaries that come through here and I think, oh my goodness, Lord, please don't call me to Africa. Look at our people that were here this morning, our couple that was here from Romania. They followed the call. I'm just joking. I would do what God tells me to do. But we all like our comfort, don't we? But see, Paul was recognized in the church of Philippi because they had been his support from the beginning. He relied on that. Yes, he was a tent maker. Yes, he did a lot of things. But he, and especially in prison, he relied on their visits. He relied on their gifts. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. You know what? He's not grumbling and he's not complaining. He said, I have received full credit and more. You know, the seed that was sown on Friday night for Martin and Sherry, it's $865. You know, I can say $865 would not pay my bills for a week and my obligations. But you know what? God is big enough to stretch that. I'm telling you, I've seen the mighty works of God. And we like to tell a little story along with what we're talking about, but years ago, when Jerry and I first moved back to Texas in 1977, we came back on a shoestring. And we didn't really have the money to put gas in his vehicle to go back to General Motors the next day. And I went to prayer meeting. It was on Wednesday night. And I knew that we didn't have any funds. I knew that. I didn't tell Jerry we didn't have any funds, but I knew it. And one of the sisters in the church come up and she said, you know, Brenda, God just told me to come and give this to you. And she put a $20 bill in my hand. I went home and I told Jerry, I said, we didn't have the money for you to have gas, but a lady felt the need. Y'all, Jerry wasn't in right relationship with God then, but don't you think I didn't tell him the good sister had given it to me. Because you know what? Those testimonies let them know what God's doing in your life and in their life. You know what? I believe God for the abundance. Paul believed God for the abundance. He believed him whether he was low or whether he was high. He believed God. And he said that even in Macedonia, that's where they began, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. The fruit that increases to your credit. It wasn't the gift, it was the fruit. What was the fruit? Souls. Souls. That was given to him was to go to souls. That was the fruit thereof, y'all. And that's what the fruit is from our walk. If we're walking and we're not bringing any fruit to the table, or if we're not establishing people in the fruit, you know what? Everyone needs to know Jesus. Shirley and I were talking at the dinner table today. I fixed lunch of all things. But anyway, I was talking about some of the outlaws we've had in the past, you know. And I said, but Shirley, yeah, we got to love them. We better love them, and we better let them know about Jesus. We was talking about how we wanted might shoot them one time or another, you know, but we gotta face it, y'all. We're human. But that's not what God says to do. We got to love them. And you know what? With a true heart, we got to love them. Well, Paul was talking about the fruit that was going to be established from the offerings and from the support that he had received from Philippi. It says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift she sent, a fragrant offering, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And this is one of the things that we all, one of the scriptures we always like to talk about and quote, and probably every one of you in here can quote it. Verse 19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." What does that mean? Angie, you know what that means. He shows up. He shows up. But when we quote that scripture and we rely on that scripture, he said, your needs according to his riches and glory. Well, I have a few needs, you know. I have a lot of wants, and I bet you do too. I'm not a stranger. We like things, don't we? But he said, your needs. But again, then he says, but according to your riches and glory. And his riches and glory, he owns it all. And you know, Brother Bartell talked about there was a Stoic people that they were wanting to try to do without things, and that was their nature to not, you know, have an abundance. But you know what? In that scripture, it talks about needs. But I'm telling you, my God is a big God. He is a big God, and if I have a need, I'm going to call on him. But he said, according to his riches and glory. Dale, is your God rich? He is, isn't he? He is very wealthy. When I tell my testimony, I'm a little cotton patch girl that came from a sharecropper's house, a poor preacher in Mississippi. But you know what the problem was? No one could tell me I couldn't do something. I knew that if God was in me, and I knew if I trusted him, that he would meet my needs and then more, Katie, and he has. You see, I wasn't educated. I dropped out of school at the 10th grade. I got married, had a wonderful marriage for 48 plus years. Child bride. I didn't know any different. We thought it was all okay in Mississippi. That wasn't nothing out of the ordinary. Young folks aren't in here tonight to hear this, and it's a good thing probably. But you know what? God told me, when I went into real estate in 1986, I became so dissatisfied working for the other fellow. I worked for a group of doctors that were wonderful. I made minimum wage. And God started putting it in my heart. He said, Brenda, are you going to limit your income the rest of your life, or are you going to trust me? And I want to tell you, in 1986, I started a school. Got my real estate license, and then I started to school getting my broker's license. Was I scared? Yes, I was scared. But I did it anyway. You know why? Because God says, Brenda, I own it all. He said, are you going to live beneath the privilege that I have given you the rest of your life? And Jerry and I jumped out, and we trusted God. We had no income from June to October. He got laid off at General Motors, was laid off 18 months, run out of subpay. Unemployment, Buddy Wright gave him a job building log houses. You can't tell me that God don't provide. His provision is there. And when Jerry passed away, I told God, I said, God, you know what? I don't know if I can keep giving this to the church or doing what I want doing right now. Well, my income decreased. It went down. But you know what I did? I increased. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Brenda, you do what I ask you to do or tell you to do, and you're not going to ever be without. You see, I don't bank on a big bank account. I bank on Jesus. And this is what Paul did. He banked on Jesus. He banked on the provision that God said he would give according to his riches and glory. Sherry and Martin are banking on the word of God. They're trusting God. Do you trust God tonight? I do. He has never failed me. He's never walked away from me. He has always been there as my provider, Jehovah Jireh. Jumped out and went into business for myself again this year. I thought, you crazy woman. But you know what? God has provided. Did I do it for me? No, I didn't. I did it for my daughter. When you're educating kids in college, you're going to need something a little better than what we were doing. But you see, God has provided. People said, Brenda, are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. Because I waited 2 years before we did it. Because I told God, I said, I'm not doing this till you say go. But when you hear his voice, you better go. Because you know what? The provision is there. He will honor your walk as he honored Paul's walk. He will honor your walk. If we will honor him in everything we say and do, in our giving, in our loving, he will reward us. And you say, do you do it for reward? No, I don't. I do it because I love Jesus. I don't want to walk without Jesus, and I don't want to do anything without the Lord. But you see, the Lord provided for Sherry and Martin Friday night from the good people of Bethel Temple. We were able to go to the barn and have provision of food and good fellowship and prayer. Are we not blessed? We are blessed. We are blessed because we have good family in our church. This is my family. If you don't claim me, I'm sorry. You're my family. What do people do without Jesus? But you see, when Paul was struck on the road to Damascus, that was his best day. Even though he was blinded for 3 days, that was his best day. Because his life turned around. As radical as he was, he turned to Jesus. And you know what I loved about Paul and his teachings? He's very point blank and directive. But you don't have to guess what he's thinking. And you know what? He received the gift, and he said that he was in abound. He had much. He didn't just have much in the gift, the monetary gift. It was in the love from the church of Philippi. That's where it is, y'all. It begins in the love. But tonight, I want you to know that we serve a great big God, and God is our provider. And as you see the holidays coming on and God speaks to you to give a gift, just do it and don't worry. God will provide. Because see, he's still talking to us. He still talks. Linda wasn't going to get up the other night and say anything. But you see, God led her to do that. Linda got up and spoke about a friend in Washington State that's very, very ill. She wasn't going to say that, but the Holy Spirit had her to say that. But see, when we walk in the Spirit, we can know that he is going to be our keeper and our guide. Father, I ask tonight, God, that you would touch this group of people here. Father, that as they go through the holidays, that those special gifts are sometimes gifts of love, gifts of money sometimes, gifts of time. Father, I pray that you would help us to cherish the gifts that we receive. But better than that, that we'll be a giver and that we'll honor you, Lord, in our giving and honor you in everything we say and do. Let us have love one for another, Lord. Help us to know that we're here to build the kingdom and to continue the kingdom and not to just be someone that sits down and does nothing. Lord, as long as we can breathe and walk, we want to do your will tonight. Paul was a robust man, but a small stature, but God, you used him. So I pray that you'd continue to use this congregation, Lord, that we might be vessels of honor unto you in Jesus' name. If there's anyone here that needs prayer tonight, we would love to pray for you. And if you know what? We don't even have to have music. God works without music, right? But if you want prayer tonight, come up and we'll be glad to pray for you. I'd like to ask some of our prayer warriors to come up and pray. We're going to pray for Sister Margaret tonight. Her blood pressure's been going up. And God is the God of bringing that blood pressure down. Come on up, Sister Margaret. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just lift Margaret to you right now. Father, I know that you know her body better than anyone. And tonight, God, I ask that you would just bring healing. Lord, Lord, that you would just build her in the Holy Spirit tonight. All these stresses be gone in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, God, that you would just cause this blood pressure to stabilize right now in Jesus' name. Father, let her have a better night. Yes, Lord. Cause her to sleep and rest, Lord, and not be encumbered by that, God. Stabilize in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, and we give you praise. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Ooh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If there's anyone else that needs prayer, come forward. And if there's not, then I'll give it to Dale and you can dismiss us, Dale.
What a wonderful evening we've had here tonight. I'm so thankful you all were here. Brenda, that was a wonderful word. Thank you so much. I believe she's already prayed. We're dismissed. You'll have a wonderful evening. We'll see you all next time we're gathered.